This next story here on KNKX comes from our weekly show Sound Effect. Here's Sound Effect host, Jennifer Wing.
Today, our theme is peace of mind. And this next story is about a Seattle woman who was a fighter for peace and gave the world a big piece of her mind 100 years ago. Her name was Luise Olivero, and she was really ahead of her time. She was outspoken, highly educated, raised by a minister with a strong moral compass.
Luise is Washington's patriotic anarchist, which sounds like a bit of a contradiction in terms, but with the ACLU currently reminding us that dissent is patriotic, I think she's very current for the times.
That's historian Michael Shine. He researched Luise's forgotten place in Seattle's history of radical activism. So back in 1917, Luise worked at the Seattle Office of the International Workers of the World. This was a powerful union. It was better known as the Wobblies. But it was Luise's own private activism that landed her on trial for espionage. Sound Effect producer Ali Ferguson talked with historian Michael Shine about Luise and how her unique moral outlook got her into a lot of trouble.
She was, above all, a woman who believed deeply in nonviolence in all things. Her main idea was that all governments are based on the threat of violence ultimately to enforce obedience. So she was strongly nonviolent in the sense that she didn't believe any organization, including the state, had a right to compel people to do things through threat of violence, such as throwing somebody in jail or other punishments.
What time period are we talking about? What was going on in Seattle and the larger world at the time?
We're talking about 100 years ago, 1917, which is the year that the United States entered World War I. And Elihu Root, which is a name that was once well known, isn't that a great name? Elihu, it's sort of musical. He was a former senator and secretary of war, and he was on a national preparedness tour in which he went around from city to city speaking in favor of supporting the war effort. He came to Seattle Saturday, August 4th, 1917, and Luise and her friend Minnie Parkhurst attended. And at that rally, Elihu Root said, "We are in this war, we must stay in it, we must bring it to a successful conclusion. Don't argue the cause of the war. Don't wrangle over whether we should be in it. Don't speak about the whys and wherefores. Forget all that." And few things were more offensive to Luise than for a man to get up there and tell her not to think and not to argue and not to question.
What did she do to then act on her conscience?
At that time, the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, which was around then, printed the names of the first roll of draftees, and it was kind of considered to be a roll of honor. But Luise used it as a mailing list, and she wrote these circulars or pamphlets that she had printed up at her own expense, and she mailed one to each person who was on the list of draftees. And in those circulars, she said that It was
essential we counsel but one thing, obedience to your own conscience. We do not ask you to resist the draft if you believe the draft is right, but if you are opposed to offering your body for these purposes, then resist. Refuse to go. Stay away.
Stay away.
So basically, what was she saying?
Well, she urged every individual to follow their conscience as a higher law than the law of the government.
And so how did the draftees who got these letters from Luise respond?
Well, we know how one of them responded. One of them turned the letter over to the district attorney, Clay Allen. That was a fellow named Mr. Harvey Leach. I don't make these names up. So he wasn't very happy to get it. What happened was that the postal inspector was called in. In those days, they used the post office to control the mailing of what was called non-mailable material. And anything, any pamphlet urging disobedience to the draft had been deemed by the postmaster to be non-mailable material. So they started asking her about those circulars. They asked her why she was doing it. They couldn't believe that anyone would care enough to do this on her own. And she said that
if out of the 2,000 circulars I was sending out, 5 men were induced to think more clearly and to think seriously of the connection of the individual with the government and with the war, I would consider my work had been quite successful.
At that point, Mr. Allen said, I don't know what to make of this woman. She might be a harmless eccentric. And Mr. Allen said, I think she's a very dangerous woman. And so she was arrested on September 7, 1917.
And so how did the trial go?
The trial resulted in the conviction of Louise Olivero for violation of the Espionage Act. And she was sentenced to 10 years in the federal prison. And she ended up serving 28 months of this sentence, at which point in the post-war era, when the political situation had shifted some and it was felt that it was appropriate to pardon political offenses, her sentence was commuted and she was released.
And did she go back to life in Seattle with the Wobblies or what?
No, she did not. She was pretty disillusioned. She went back to Portland and she worked there tirelessly on behalf of women prisoners. At the same time, she did it in a way that avoided the kinds of protests that would get her arrested. She worked quietly with letters and petitions to try to ease the conditions of women prisoners.
And what about the story do you find so compelling?
I think it's important to tell the story because she was a courageous woman, a woman who, as her friend said, was found guilty of thinking. And she made a strong point that was also made by others, and others have been remembered better for it. But they're also all men. So I think it's just important to honor her courage. But I think it's not as simple as people sometimes think. Yay, we want to cheer Louise on. I mean, it feels good. It seems that World War I was a terrible war and it was the wrong thing to do, and she was probably right. But at the same time, should somebody always place their individual conscience over the dictates of the law or the state? Well, that's a lot more complicated. And Martin Luther King struggled with this issue. And he said, one may well ask, how can you advocate breaking some laws and obeying others? The answer lies in the fact that there are two types of laws, just and unjust. I would be the first to advocate obeying just laws. One has not only a legal but a moral responsibility to obey just laws. Conversely, one has a moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws. I would agree with St. Augustine that, quote, an unjust law is no law at all. So the tough work is trying to find for yourself, through your own moral values and system, which are the just and which are the unjust laws. And that's where the rubber meets the road, if you will. I think it's a struggle we all need to engage in. It's part of our duty as citizens in a democracy.
So this show is under the theme Peace of Mind, which we interpret in a lot of different ways. But I'm wondering if you think that peace of mind is sort of inherently elusive for those engaged in activism and dissent and trying to understand their own moral compass.
To the contrary. I think it's the path to peace of mind. You can't stay quiet in the face of injustice. And that is when you are most conflicted. And when you've taken some sort of action, and it doesn't have to be, you know, throwing a brick through a plate glass window. It can be calling a representative. When you've taken some sort of action, and feel that you have tried to make a difference, then you're working your way towards peace of mind.
In Louise's story, when she tried to act on that, she became disillusioned and found, I don't know that she found peace of mind. How can we sustain activism and continue this fight for morality or for justice without becoming disillusioned or maybe losing sight?
You know, nobody said self-governance is going to be easy. Every generation has to fight its own battles, and you're never there. The struggle is never over, and there's always somebody new to pick up the torch.
This land is your land. This land is my land.
That was historian Michael Schein talking with sound effect producer Allie Ferguson. Michael is on the Speakers Bureau for Humanities Washington.